This recording, Northern Ireland 5, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's the story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. And then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Coma, Coma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice of a name. Coma was strong and huge. It would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for cure. I was born in Derry in Northern Ireland and spent first 19 years there, and then I went to London. Had 2 years in London, came back, worked on for a bit in Derry, and then I actually left completely in 1982. Went to London, and 1988 I went out to Australia, New Zealand, and Southeast Asia. Spent a year out there, and then came to Torrington in 1988. The end of 1988. And have been here ever since. I don't think my accent has really changed, but I think phrases, I've picked up different phrases, Devonshire phrases. That's more noticeable than my accent, but then maybe other people notice that my accent's changed, I don't know. The boys tell me when I get in a temper, then I sound really Irish. I was the youngest of 8 children. My dad worked away quite a bit, he worked in London. Used to come back every 6 weeks for long weekends, and then he was away, so he was away most of the time throughout my childhood. My mother was at home, but she started working when I was about 14, so I was left at home doing most of the cooking and cleaning whilst everybody else was off working. Well, a sad memory, I remember, which was quite sad and still it can be quite sad, because I've got this thing that I'm a real failure, and I think it really goes back to when I was 11, we had to do an exam called the 11 Plus, and there was great kind of emphasis put in this exam, you know, about passing. If you passed, you got a bike and all sorts of things. And I was sure that myself that I had passed, but I brought this brown envelope up to my parents and waited outside the bedroom to see what the results was. And I heard my father saying to my mother, "Well, you didn't expect her to pass." And it has had such a lasting effect on me that it all, and I'm sure that's where I get insecure and everything else comes from. So that's quite a strong memory, really. Well, when I came to Torrington, I just fell in love with it immediately. One of my first jobs that I really loved here was managing the Ploy Arts Centre. Did that for about 4.5 years. And while I was working there, it was very difficult getting funding for the arts, and particularly from the town council. So that kind of fired me up to join the town council to fight the buggers from within. And which is what I did, and I've been a town councillor ever since for about 9 years, and I absolutely love it because I think I have got so much from Torrington, so it's really nice to give something back to.